You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
You know, I've heard this statement made so many times that it's almost a caricature when I hear somebody come to me and they say, you know, my spouse just came to me and said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And that begins a cascade for many people. And so often that ends up being such a caricature in our society. And yet it's such a painful moment to have somebody say something like that. So today I wanted to talk about what that meant. This is Lee Baucom, and you're with us on the Save the Marriage podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage, transform it, and make it into a relationship that you both will treasure for the rest of your life. We're here to provide information on how to not just change your relationship, but change yourself, change the path of your relationship, and rebuild the connection that's broken between you. In fact, that's part of my three-step process in rebuilding a marriage. The first is to build the connection with your spouse, to rebuild that connection with your spouse. The second is to change yourself, and the third is to create a new path for your relationship. So today I want to talk about what happens. What does this mean when a spouse says, I love you, but I'm not in love? And I want to talk about this in the context of connection, because it really is about levels of connection. There are various ways that we are over time more and less connected with different people, and particularly with our spouse. As I've said over and over, we as humans are built for that connection. It's wired into us. It's hardwired into our brain. It's into our endocrine system with the different hormones that come out. You've heard of oxytocin, that hormone that creates connection between mother and baby, but also between anybody when there's physical contact. I've talked about that several times in the past. And so that level of connection, the point I want to hit here is the level of connection is what we're talking about. And a connection is what drives any relationship. It is certainly at the heart of a marital relationship. So just to give you a little context, I want to step back and bring in our friends the Greeks, because the Greeks long ago had lots more ways of defining love than we seem to have in our culture. You know, in our culture, we say, I love ice cream, or I love that car, or I love my friend, or I love our house, or I love my spouse, I love our kids, I love the dog, I love the cat. You know, we use our love, 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 and it's one word that has so many nuances of meaning. Well, the Greeks had a number of different words. I think it is kind of like, they talk about the Eskimos having just dozens and dozens and dozens of words for snow, because that's what surrounds them. Well, the Greeks, whether they were a more loving group or whether they just needed a closer definition, came up with a number of different types of love. And they had different words for those. And today I just want to highlight four of them. There are a couple of others, but the four I want to highlight are agape, phileo, storge, and eros. And agape, let's just kind of start there. Agape is unconditional acceptance. Agape is that what we call unconditional love. And unfortunately, our culture has even messed up what we mean by that. It's kind of like we assume that unconditional love is that when we have that ooey-gooey, gushy feeling for a spouse, that love should be always there and unconditional. But the agape love the Greeks were talking about is when you choose to be loving towards someone. It's an action word. I will unconditionally accept that person as a human being. So whether they're friends or enemies, it's choosing to act in a certain way towards that person with respect, with love, and that love is in that way a verb. You know, it's describing the actions of being loving, whether it's acting in kind ways towards someone you don't like. It could be acting in very accepting ways to someone you do love. And so that place of agape is unconditional acceptance by choice. It's not about liking someone or having an affinity for someone. It's about choosing to always act in positive regard and act in kind ways. So that's agape. Now we drop down from that to phileo. Now phileo, you know, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. So phileo is brotherly. And obviously, there we want to broaden that to all humans, not just to guys. But brotherly, it's really about connection and affinity. It's really not even about that familial love. It's brotherly love, meaning that you choose people in your circle. Again, it's about affinity for those around us. So you might say, I phileo, I love that group, or I love, you know, something. And it's that feeling of affinity and connection. You love sports. You love your friends. That's all phileo love. And then there's this wonderful word, storge. And storge is about familial love. It's the way that love happens. Loyalty and love come together in a family unit. So spouses can have that, siblings can have that, and it's that place of connection that is only happening in families. You know, you often talk about families that don't get along, but they say, but I love them. You know, we can't even be in the same room, but I love them. And that's that storge love of being loyal and having a connection based on that loyalty and based on that relationship. So then there is this last piece, the eros, the erotic love. This is about romance and passion. It's where sexual attraction comes from. So that eros, that erotic love or romantic love, is this word that keeps coming up in the I'm not in love. You know, if you really want to kind of narrow this down, one way of saying it is I love you in a storge or a phileo way, or maybe even an agape way. I will continue to act lovingly towards you, but I'm not in love. I don't have those erotic love. The eros love is not here right now. Now, there is another word that pops up in the Bible when the Bible is talking about marriage, which is philostorgos. Okay, philostorgos is a combination of phileo and storge love. In other words, the brotherly affinity of I love this person because it's interesting. They challenge me. They're interesting. I like to be around them. We like to pal around. That's that phileo and storge of the familial, the loyalty. Now, if the Bible pulls that word out, that tells us that that was a word that was used at that time period, because you don't just make up a word in one book that would not have been known elsewhere. And so the understanding of that culture would have been that this was the love between spouses. This is what marks the love between spouses. Now, what you notice is that it was not philostorgos eros. The erotic love was not a part of that magic combination. You see, this idea of being in love as the basis of a marriage is very new. In fact, it's so new that I think we're still trying to figure out what you do about that, because we have come to believe in our culture that that's the mark of true love. That that's what it means when you're truly loving someone, you're going to have these passionate feelings. And so when those feelings get knocked to the side for whatever reason, we don't know what to do with that. We don't know how to process that, because that's not supposed to happen. It breaks one of our cultural beliefs, not our wiring beliefs, but our cultural beliefs. So I find that there are really two beliefs around this true love thing, this eros love thing. One is that it really doesn't matter in marriage. That really, that's just a feeling that comes from dating. And so I'll talk to people who believe that, you know, while they were dating, that feeling was there, but then they got married. And so it was time to grow up and stop that and move on and be responsible. And so they see that as something that's only short term at the beginning of a relationship. But then there are those who believe it is the most important feeling in a marriage. And when it's not there, they go into panic mode. They find a way of believing that something is flawed in their relationship that can never come back, that there's this belief that eros love is either there or it's not there. It's not something that can come back. It was there in the beginning. Where did it go? It must be always gone, and we must have married the wrong person. Rather than seeing the reality of this, which is even in our wirings, those feelings of passion can ebb and flow. They wax and wane. They come and go. That the feelings of eros are really difficult to create unless you focus on other things first. It's kind of like happiness. You know, if you pursue happiness, you'll never find it. If you keep your eyes on other things, happiness appears. And it's kind of like that with erotic love. If you focus on being loving, If you focus on loving actions and looking at that connection and affinity you share with somebody and those familial loyalties, guess what shows up? Eros. But if you chase after it, you end up trying to manufacture something, and we watch people go through these great things where they're trying to make huge romantic gestures and go on huge romantic getaways to try to create that, try to manufacture it, and it just doesn't work. So that's the reality of what happens, and sometimes we're really kind of blindsided when a spouse says that and thinking that everything is now broken. So I want to talk about some things to do and not do. And the first thing I want to talk about is the don't do's, because there's really only one do. But the don't do's is don't panic. When you hear that coming your way, your immediate response may be, well, you know, if you don't love me, then get out, or I'm out of here. But don't panic, because that statement does not mark the end of a marriage. But it does point to an issue that must be addressed in the marriage. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go figure out how to fall in love again, although if you act in loving ways and you work on those connection points, that will happen. The problem is when we panic because it's not there, we make the assumption that something is wrong. And so the second don't is to don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. Now, it could be that you haven't done your part to kind of build that part of the relationship. You may have been someone who believed that, you know, it's just for dating. It doesn't really matter at this point. Or you may be one of those people who believe that you hit pause at this point in a relationship because, you know, you've got to do career and you got to do family and kids and get them out of here and all that stuff. So you could be somebody who has responsibility on the fact that the relationship didn't maintain that connection. But this isn't about you, it's about the other person's feelings and their emotional state. You see, you can't make somebody feel eros. It comes from them, and there's a chemical reaction that's going on in their body, and what they're basically saying is, that's no longer happening within them. So they're making a statement of what they're feeling and their emotions. Now, it's very hard to not take it personally, but you've got to work to let it be about their feelings. And what are we going to do to work on what they're feeling? Which leads us to another piece. Don't respond from your hurt. Respond from compassion. Respond from feeling bad that the other person is at a point of pain and at a point of seeing that there is something wrong here. Respond from that place. Because then the shift is not towards, I'm hurt, you've hurt my feelings, but wow, that must be very difficult to have said. You see, when somebody shares that, it's probably taken them great pains to get to the point when they could say that. Because that can, nobody says that knowing that it's not going to be hurtful. They know that the other person is going to be hurt by that. There's no way around that. So when they say it, it's probably taken a long time to build up to that. Also, it's a point of intimacy. When you think about that, this person is sharing something of how they're feeling internally. That's a point of intimacy in any relationship, and that can't be sidestepped. So you want to accept what they're telling you as a point of great intimacy that they're willing to share with you. See, one of the things that often happens is that when somebody shares their feeling, instead of seeing the vulnerability, instead of seeing that place of connection, we see that as a place of distance and a place not of trying to connect, but a place of pushing away. And yet, when somebody can reveal something that vulnerable, you have to accept it as a point of intimacy, as a reflection of where they are and of what's going on with them. So don't panic. Don't take it personally, even though it's going to hurt your feelings. But don't respond from that hurt. Respond from a point of compassion and accept that what has just come your way is a huge statement of intimacy and connection in the midst of telling you about that feeling of disconnection. So what is the do? There really is only one do. You do work on rebuilding the connection. That's what's necessary in this, is to work on rebuilding the connection, because the connection is what fuels that eros. Now, some people have said, so you don't really think that couples should feel this romantic thing? I think it's great for couples to feel this romance and eros. I just don't believe that it's the heart and soul of a marriage as much as it's a side effect of what happens when a marriage is tended well. When people are working and loving towards each other, then it comes out. My grandmother, who was a wonderful philosopher of life and an optimist all her life, told me that really that sexual feeling, the sex, the eros, the erotic feelings, not a really a big thing unless it's not there. And her point was that kind of takes care of itself as long as the rest of the relationship is being nurtured. But when it's not there, it begins to be a huge stumbling block for the relationship. It gets in the way. And so what has to happen is you work on rebuilding the connection, not work on rebuilding the eros, but work on rebuilding the connection, focusing on that phileo storge, or the philostorge, storgos of the Bible, and of that culture, of connecting in that, about that connection. What do you like about that person? What do you find interesting about that person? What's the affinity you have? And how do you combine that with the warmth of being family and the loyalty of that and of being on each other's sides and working towards that? And when that happens, when you act in loving ways, which comes from that agape, I'm going to do loving actions towards you, guess what comes out of that? Eros emerges again, and the feeling of in love comes in a matured relationship from connection and loving action. In other words, that choice to be loving can create the feelings of passion that often go missing in a relationship. So when your spouse tells you, I love you, but I'm not in love, recognize that there are still other pieces of love there. It's just that the erotic love is what's missing, and the way back is to rebuild the connection by acting and choosing to be acting in loving ways and looking for those places of connection. If you need help with that, you may want to look at my Save the Marriage system. It has lots of great information on how to build that connection. I actually also have another piece of information about how to connect. And if you're interested in learning, getting some additional training and learning how to connect, let me know, and I can tell you how to grab that. You can just email me, lee@savethemarriage.com. That's lee@savethemarriage.com. And the last thing I want to tell you is do not let that statement derail you from the process of building the connection back in your relationship, changing yourself, and creating a new path for your relationship. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you rebuild and transform your relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.